you're listening to 2XX 98.3 FM on the Near Post, and we have our special guest in the studio, and we're delighted to have our first live guest in the studio, and I can't think of a better person that that we could have had across Australian football. The first Indigenous Australian to play for the Socceroos, the first Indigenous Australian to go to a World Cup. It's an honour to be joined here tonight by Harry Williams. Harry's also a board member of Capital Football. Delighted to have you here, Harry. How are you?
Oh, great. Thanks, Emma. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Harry, we'd just like to talk a little bit about your journey in football. Obviously, back in the days when you were playing football in Sydney, I guess it was a big rugby league area, and probably quite unusual for an Indigenous child to get into football. Would that be right?
Yeah, you are right there. The area that I came from was St George Country, and it was very big in rugby league. I did play a bit of rugby league, and I was involved in some other sports in those early days, but football, which was soccer back then, was my number one sport.
And why was that? Because obviously you were talented, I think, from what I've read, is that you were talented at many sports. Why was football your number one sport?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, but it's just something, it's a game that I fell in love with, and it was, once it's in your blood, it's there for life. And it's something that I was able to express myself much more than other sports, and it's something that I really loved. I loved doing. I loved playing the game.
Well, I think you certainly chose the right sport because you've exceeded at it. You became a Socceroo at the age of 19, I believe. And where did the Socceroos, or how did you? Where was your first game for the Socceroos? Can you remember it?
Well, you're asking me something now. It's going back a few years. I think my first game was in Macau, in Hong Kong. We played against a local provincial side there.
Okay, and you got to travel a lot with the Socceroos before, particularly before the World Cup in 1974. And what are some of the countries that that you went to? You remember some of the places you've been to, Harry?
I think the first trip away was in 1970. At the age of 19, I just came into grade football with St George, and it was the end of the season that selections were made for a 8-week tour throughout Asia and Europe, and I was lucky enough to be selected for that tour, and we travelled through various parts of Asia, through KL and Indonesia, through China, and through parts of Europe, through Greece, Germany, and so on.
And when you had the World Cup qualifiers, obviously the last game was against, who was the last game against before you qualified for the World Cup?
In 1974, when we qualified, our last qualifier was against South Korea. Okay. And we actually played three games against Korea to qualify.
And what was the feeling for you? Can you remember the feeling, Harry, as a young man having qualified with the first Australian team after the game?
Yeah, I think I became an instant bird. We were all flying. We were just so hot. We were just over the moon. It's a shame we weren't able to do it on home soil. Yeah. We played the first leg in Australia, and the second leg in Korea, and the third and decider was played in Hong Kong. We had a few supporters there.
Yep.
But it does bring back very vivid memories of that moment, which only seems like yesterday, anyway.
Well, I remember, I suppose, 1974 World Cup was probably one of my first memories of a World Cup. You know, I was living in England, so I remembered the German team and the Dutch team. And I mean, it's, you know, I remember Australia playing, but it's amazing that I'm sitting here talking to you when I would have been watching from England, watching, you know, Germany play Australia. Now, you didn't play in the first two games, and by the time the manager gave you a run, Harry, you played in the third game, and I think you came on towards the end of the game, is that right?
That's right.
Was that a disappointment to you? Because you'd obviously played in a fair few games leading up to the World Cup.
I think he always looked to put on the green and gold and be first choice. But with the squad that we had, the camaraderie and that, we were very much like brothers, and I think to a player, I don't think it anyone really mattered whether who played or who didn't, because we're all in it together as a team, whether it was you were in the first 11 or on the bench as a reserve. So while it was a little bit of a personal disappointment, I think it was just a fantastic effort having qualified to play in Germany, and to be a part of that was an experience that you carry with you for the rest of your life.
And do you have any special memories for yourself in Germany playing or being part of that squad? Is there anything particular that, you know, when you think back, your first or being at the World Cup, you obviously were up against the greats like Franz Beckenbauer and Gerd Müller, but any special memory about your time there?
I think the camaraderie and the players that were in the squad, and to this day there's a very close bond between all of us.
Yeah, and I guess that's one of the great things about football in general, isn't it, that whatever team you play in, you always have a good bond, whether it's your achievements are to a World Cup side or even the local guys down at, you know, the local junior team, they're always form a close knit group. And so after the World Cup you came back, and then eventually you played some more games, but eventually you moved down to Canberra. What brought you to Canberra?
Money.
you didn't get enough from the Socceroos campaign, obviously, back in those days. Part-time, not like...
There wasn't a lot of money in the game, and like if we hadn't been offered any money to jump on the plane to go to Germany, we still would have jumped on the plane. It's an experience of a lifetime. You know, back in those days, back in the 70s and 80s, there was very little money around here in this country. While there was good money in the sport, we were essentially part-time players, and we were paid accordingly.
Yeah. I should just if you got a question that I think.
Now Harry, you probably don't know this, but me and you actually got something in common. You went to the World Cup in Germany in 1974, and I went to the World Cup in Germany last year. So, you know, I feel a bond here. But my question is, you played with the late Johnny Warren. Can you tell us about, you know, what kind of captain Johnny was? And, you know, because Johnny is definitely one of my heroes, and he's probably a lot of people's heroes out there in the football community. Yes,
right. Well, I think Johnny's one of those enigmas in our sport, and I believe that he was a hero for a lot of people, and he was certainly a hero amongst his own colleagues, and as a captain, as a leader, he was second to none, and he had the ability to inspire you.
He certainly inspired myself and Nicole as well, I think I could say.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, we're going to play a Socceroos song for Harry and for our listeners, and this is from the song for the Socceroos show that was last year before the World Cup, and the winning and gold. And I love jumping in a stadium full of Australians, and I love jumping in the stadium on the night the Socceroos qualified, that famous night. And I'm probably one of the Australia's top three sporting moments, and I'm glad to say that I was there with my six-year-old daughter. And at the end of the game went for a long time, as everybody knows, and it went to penalties, and she was lying on the bench, very tired, not possibly fully understanding what was going on. And I said, look, just lie down. And, no, she says, Dad, I want to watch the penalties. And what dad could be more proud to think that a six-year-old actually understood what was going on, and she'll never forget it as long as she lives. Harry, how did you feel? I know you were there that night. How did you feel as a member of the 1974 side to see Australian football team going back to the World Cup?
Oh, we were just so happy, and we were just over the moon. I was in one of the corporate boxes with some of the boys from the 74, and we just sang and screamed ourselves hoarse, and we were just, when we qualified, when LOSC scored that that decider, we just hugged each other. We were actually in tears.
Yeah, I think I'm in tears now when we're thinking about it.
A lot of people in tears that night.
Yeah. One of the moments for me was being in the, actually in the car park after the game. Now, car parks are not very exciting places, but that night it was the best car park I've ever been in my life. I couldn't get out. There was thousands of people in there, but it was just brilliant. The atmosphere in the car park, it was superb. And Harry, so once we qualified, what did it mean to you? Like, what, you know, once it sank in?
I think what it meant for me was a realisation that we've come of age,
yep,
as a football nation. We're on the world stage, and that we actually have belief in ourselves and what we can do and what we can achieve.
And that's right. And I think the whole game, I mean, obviously got a massive lift from that. And it's here to stay, would you say, at that high level?
Absolutely. It was a great shot in the arm for football in this country. And it really put us on the map. It put us up there with the big boys. We still have a long way to go. We still have a lot of work to do. But it's really opened the door for us in terms of our future in the game and where we go to from here. This has been a long time coming, a long time in the planning. It's, you know, some 32 odd years since we qualified back in 74, and I think back then it was just thought as hiatus, that something would never happen again. But we've worked hard at our game here in Australia, and it all came to fruition on that night in November the 16th, I believe, on the 15th.
And I like to think that we're actually on the way now. You know, we're going to have lots of ups and downs, and you know, there's lots of problems. But this is the journey of football. It's taken off, and you know, we've got the Asian element already in Canberra. You see, Caitlin Munoz and Sally Shipard, Lydia Williams, Gracie Gill for the Matildas playing across Asia in the World Cup, and you see the lads, Darnay Milanovic, some of the young boys in the Joeys like Chris Bush from Goulburn and Stephen Domenici from Canberra, Nikolai Topol-Stanley, the list goes on of the Adam Casey, the number of, and Ben Wilson, the referee, and Ben Williams. The involvement across as we go into Asia as individuals for these players is one thing, and you know, hopefully this is going to grow as one day we hope to have a Canberra team. Would you like to see a Canberra A-League side, Harry?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we can have an A side here from Canberra. It is achievable. We have had Canberra representative sides in the National League in the past, and certainly we can have an A-League side. I think, you know, the list that you mentioned, we've got some fantastic young players coming through, we've got a high participation rate in the sport here in the ACT, and it's second to none. And there's a lot of talent out there, and if the right sort of people can put together a side to go into the National League, I think we'd do extremely well.
I think so, and I think obviously the looking beyond the National League, if and when a Canberra team played in Asia, in an Asian Champions League, how fantastic would that be to see Japanese people, Iranian people coming here to play, watch their club side to play in football. I think it would be add value to the Raiders and the Brumbies to put a football team in there amongst them. Okay, Harry, I'd like to also, you've obviously been a role model for all Australians, but also particularly for Indigenous people. I know there's the Harry Williams Cup in Sydney, which is a fantastic initiative. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, please don't talk Capital Football, but I've been heavily involved with football in New South Wales over the past few years.
Hope the pain you, Harry.
in developing an Indigenous Pathways for young Indigenous players that want to get involved in the sport. And we have a tournament, which is in my name, but we're also looking at developing other things off that, and we've got coaching clinics out in the country, and we're encouraging kids to come in and get involved in the game. We're looking at linking players into development programs. We've got Sydney Football Club, which has come into the program this year, and they're very keen to get involved and participate in what we're doing with the Harry Williams Cup program. And we'd like to see that grow and develop. We've recently had three young boys from the tournament play this year, selected for the Johnny Warren Foundation development program, which is a coup in itself.
I know Peter Turnbull from the Central Coast Mariners has been involved in supporting some of that as well. It would be great to see some more Indigenous players playing. I mean, obviously they've got skills represented in many other sports. We haven't had too many come through. I think Jade North, Travis Dodd, maybe Casey Worman, that's about, and yourself.
Lydia Williams.
And thank you, Nicole, in the women's game, yes. Lydia Williams, Canberra's own Lydia Williams. Harry, I'd just like to say thank you very much for joining us tonight. It's been great to have you on the show, and hopefully we can get you back on again soon.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me,
Okay. And Nicole, you're going to you got some news on local football.
I do. I've got some news from Capital Football on their website. Latest bit of news in is Canberra's Ben Wilson, who's a referee, has just been appointed assistant referee for the upcoming club challenge match to be played between Sydney FC and LA Galaxy.
Fantastic.
David Beckham's team. So that's an awesome honour for him to have, and that follows success as he went to the 2006 World Cup as an assistant referee.
Okay, so well done, Ben. Anything else? What else happening around town?
Ben Williams, who's also another referee, is overseas, and he's just been appointed a referee for the Asian Champions League semi-final.
And that's between two Syrian clubs, so again, shows how the Canberrans are off on the move and moving across Asia as individuals, and hopefully we can match it one day with the Canberra team. And More?
Capital Football Academy trials continue this week. The under 12 and 13 boys had their trials tonight, 15, 16, 17 girls tomorrow night, and the 14, 15 boys on Thursday. More information, if you know of a young talented player who should probably be along there, contact Ian Shaw at technical@capitalfootball.com.au.
Yeah, so get onto Ian Shaw. Sure, he'd be delighted to get all your emails. Keep him busy, because you don't need much, do you, Shaw? Kill me. Okay.
There's also a 2008 Lightning tournament that will be run on the 12th and 13th of April at the Mawson Playing Fields. It's just a tournament for young players between sort of 11 and 15. It costs $30 per player, and all proceeds will go to the under-15 Woden team that's travelling to Europe in July 2009. So more information on that, check out the Capital Football website and I'll have a link.
Okay, I must mention Woden Valley, who had a tour to Sweden last year, and they went with their under-15 side, went and they got to meet the greatest footballer in the world ever, and that is Glasgow Celtic's Henrik Larsson, and there's a picture of the lads meeting Henrik Larsson. And as a Celtic fan, I just had to mention Celtic at least once on every show. So the Woden Valley boys, they perhaps don't know how lucky they were to meet Henrik Larsson, but he was a great player and a great person. Nicole, is that your lot?
One last thing, most important. Canberra Eclipse trials continue this week on Friday the 26th and Monday the 29th at 6 p.m. at Canberra 3. So any, open age women players who'd like to give it a go, there's a team travelling to Adelaide for an interstate tournament, November 24th to December 1st. And again, contact Ian Shaw at technical@capitalfootball.com.au.
Okay, thanks. Nicole, Arif, a quick wrap of the Aussies abroad.
Quick wrap of the Aussies abroad, yes. You'll be happy to know, Eamon, that there'll be two mentions of Celtic this week. Aussies abroad, Scott McDonald didn't do too much.
Oh, he does mention that.
Celtic lost 3-0 to Rangers on the weekend.
I planned the whole show to start so that Celtic would be playing Rangers and we could talk about how they won.
Well, unfortunately, your boys weren't up to the job. But Celtic
are still top of the league. You didn't mention that they're still top of the league. Okay.
Soccer star Scott McDonald will have a chance to redeem himself this Thursday morning against Benfica in Champions League action. So if he can do what he did against Milan, we can talk about that next week.
We can. And just to mention, Carl Valeri's playing in Italy. Joe Simonic is in Germany. And Ned Zelic from Cambria is still playing.
Ned Zelic is still there. One other notable mention was that Josh Kennedy of FC Nürnberg.
That's like Australia abroad, aren't they?
That's soccer is abroad just about. Yeah. He came off the bench to score his first goal for his club, FC Nürnberg, in a 4-1 win against some team I can't remember the name of.
Eintracht Frankfurt, I think, from memory.
Thank you. And that was his first goal, and after a long injury layoff.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Arif. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you to our producer, Simon, who's telling us it's time. And Harry, again, once again, thank you very much for joining us. And we should mention Channel Vision are here in the studio, and thank you guys for... and all our supporters outside. And we'll be back next week. And remember, wherever you are playing football across Canberra, if you're going to a near post,
get there first.
That's right, well done. Cheers.
2XX FM 98.3.